إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، I welcome all of you, a special welcome for our noble sisters in Al-Islam. Since this is a class that is oriented for them here at Masjid Al-Tawheed in Stone Mountain, Georgia. As every Wednesday after Asr, we have a class with them, alhamdulillah. And they listen to us by the way of the microphone, alhamdulillah. We remind you, if you don't hear the voice clearly or something, let us know by sending a piece of paper or something, inshallah ta'ala. And we're still reading from the explanation of Riyad al-Salihin, our beloved Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, in the first chapter, Kitab al-Ikhlas, the Bab of Sincerity, and making the intention purely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today, inshallah ta'ala, we're going to read the benefits. The benefits that the Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, brought from the hadith of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas that we read last time. And before that, I do apologize for not being here last week. I had an appointment and I couldn't come back in a time, got stuck in the traffic. I do apologize for not being here for the last. And I didn't let you know because I didn't know that appointment. And I thought maybe I could be here at the time. But قدر الله ما شاء فعل. From the fawaid of this hadith, number one, Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen rahmat alayhi says, أن من هدي الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم عيادة المرضى لأنه عاد سعد بن أبي وقاص رضي الله عنه. Benefit, the Shaykh mentioned 14 benefits to God. 14. Inshallah ta'ala. He says, number one, that is from the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam guidance, that he used to visit the sick people. And it is for us. So it is the guidance of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to visit those who are sick. Why? Because the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he went and visited Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu when he was sick. Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen, he says, and in visiting the sick people, there is many benefits for them and for the visitor and the one who is visited. He said there is benefits when visiting a sick person, somebody who is sick. There is a benefit for the visitor and the one who has been visited. He says, as for the visitor, al-aid, al-aid wal-ma'ud, al-aid. In Arabic, is the visitor, the one who visits a sick person. Not any visitor, but when he visits a sick person. Whether that person in a hospital or at home, doesn't have to be in a hospital to be sick. Some people are sick in their homes. Okay? So if a person thinks that now we're going to visit only when they are in a hospital, no. As for the visitor, what is the benefits? Because he's fulfilling one of the rights of his brother. The sisters, when she visits her sister, so she's fulfilling the rights of her sister and of her father, her mother, alright, and some people from her family. Because this is one of the rights that the Muslim have over his Muslim's brothers. That when a Muslim is sick, he's visited. This is from the rights. The Prophet ﷺ mentioned rights. There are rights that the Muslims have over us. From them is this one. When a Muslim is sick, he has rights over the rest of the Muslims that they should visit him. Likewise, when a Muslim sneezes and says, Alhamdulillah, then that's the right upon those who hear him to say, Yarhamukallah. Likewise, there is a right when a Muslim dies that you do the funeral procession and the like. As for the visited, meaning the sick person, the benefits from him is going to be inshallah ta'ala, later on, the Sheikh is going to mention it after the fourth point. The second benefit from this hadith, the hadith of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas, radiallahu anhu, that the person when he's sick, he's, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, لا يزال في مخرفة الجنة, يعني يجني ثمار الجنة حتى يعود. That when a person, look at this great benefit, when a person visits a sick person, as he's in makhrafat al-jannah, he's in makhrafa of paradise. Sheikh Mu'tami says, meaning he continues to harvest the fruit of jannah until he returns from that visit. Number three from the benefits of this hadith, فيه تذكيرا للعائد بنعمة الله عليه بالصحة. That when a person visits another person who is sick, that's a reminder for you. Now that you're healthy, alhamdulillah, you're not sick, so that you can appreciate the ni'mah of Allah upon you when you visit sick people. Especially if you go to the hospital. Like in a Muslim country, so you visit Muslims. You don't have to be your father or mother or somebody you know. Then you just go to the hospital and visit the Muslim. There is great benefits. And as you're going from a room to a room, subhanAllah, these people are sick with this, people this and this, in pains, different, and you thank Allah for the ni'mah of health. You thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Shaykh says, because when a person sees the sick person, and he knows about his illness, now he looked at himself, subhanAllah, he's not paying attention to a great ni'mah that Allah has given him. A great ni'mah that you're healthy. You may not have money, but you're sound, healthy. And this way, if you visit people that are sick, you appreciate the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Shaykh says, because if you want to know really the virtue and how precious something, when you look at its opposite. When you compare it to its opposite. If somebody is healthy, they don't pay attention to that. But once they see those who are sick, now they're like, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, that afani, alhamdulillah, that has protected me. Number four, the point of benefit number four from this hadith. Likewise, visiting the sick person brings love and unity amongst the Muslims. Especially between those two people, that they, when they visit, when a person visits the sick person, it brings love and strengthens the brotherhood and the sisterhood. The Shaykh says, because when you visit a sick person, that visit, subhanAllah, it sticks with them in their hearts. Stick with the sick person. In his heart, he will never remember it, never forget it. And whenever he remembers that, he brings him love for the person who visited him and stand beside him and the like. And when the sick person is, alhamdulillah, he's okay, and now he's recovered by Allah's will, whenever he sees that person or persons that they visit him in a, he continues to thank them and appreciate because they came and visit him in the times of illness and the like. The Shaykh, when he mentioned, when you visit a sick person, subhanAllah, that person may never forget about that. I want to share something with you. This is a real story that happened to me in my life. I was back home in Morocco, and this is 20 years ago. Actually, over 20, like between some 20 years and some months. We were in an institute studying, and one of our brothers got sick because we were like in the dorms, and one of our brothers got sick, and they have the place where we're studying was a village. They have nothing, so this brother has to have an operation, and they took him like 2-3 hours away by driving in another city. And subhanAllah, at that time, we were poor, man. You're like, we're students, but we got no money. So I don't know if I have borrowed something, And that Sunday, that's the only day we have off. You know, you're in dorms. That day means a lot because you wash your clothing. You know, you prepare stuff. You do things. But I went on a trip to visit that brother. It was a big surprise for him. Guess what? Since we graduated over 20 years ago, and I never heard from that brother until last week. SubhanAllah. Until last week, I talked to one of our teachers, finally find a number, and I was given his number, and I called that brother after 20 years. Wallahi al-Azim, I'm not exaggerating. After he heard my voice, and he's like, SubhanAllah, I can't believe. That's you? Yeah. And then he said, the first thing he says, I never forget when you came and visit me in the hospital. SubhanAllah. He said, I never forget when you came and visit me in the hospital. He said, that means a lot to me. He says, I was in pain. You came, mashallah, and we spent a good time. Tayyib. Then the Shaykh, he mentioned, as for the person who's been visited, what is the benefits for the one who's been visited, meaning the sick person? He says that visit brings, you know, some good for him. Why? Because when somebody's sick and he's by himself, they just think about pain. They constantly thinking about pain and this and their illness and their sickness. But when somebody came and they changed the topic, how you doing? MashaAllah, hayyakallah, kif halak, we miss you. Oh, especially if the person go there and share with him, MashaAllah, the class of Tawheed, we took these points. Here is, I took some points, MashaAllah, here it is. I made a copy for you. MashaAllah, here is the CD of that class of fiqh, of hadith. So that brings joy. A change and was accompanied with joy in the heart of the sick person. And this, especially now, the Shaykh says, if the visitor is from good people, which he will remind the person with good, with tawbah, would advise him and the like, and remind him of the wasiyah, the testament, and the like, if he has any debts, inshallah, upon him and the like. He said, that's why the ulama, they says, it is incumbent upon someone who visits the sick to make things easy for them, to bring some joy into their hearts. Okay? By saying to them, oh, mashallah, you're upon good today. You're upon good today, mashallah. Alhamdulillah, you're upon good. The Shaykh says, it's not necessary that always you say to him, oh, you're better today. He said, no, if you say, you got to be careful. You may say to him, you're better today, but he may not be better actually. Maybe yesterday was better than today. His case may be worsened today. So you don't just tell a person, oh, you're better today. No, just tell them, you're upon good. Why? Because you're not lying when you said you're upon good. Because the Muslim, all of his affairs are good for him. As the Prophet ﷺ tells us, he says, عَجَبًا لِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ. The believer, his affairs are amazing. And this is only for the believer. If good things happen to him, and he thanks Allah, that's good for him or her. And if he or she facing calamity and they are patient, it's good for them as well. So you tell them you're upon good, alhamdulillah, and you be patient and this and that. Likewise, from the things that the visitor should remind the sick person, and therefore these are the benefits that the sick person gained from that visit, that remind him of tawbah, to repent to Allah, to ask Allah for forgiveness. But he has to do it indirectly. He don't just tell him, man, listen, man, you look like you may not make it. So it's better for you to make tawbah. No, you don't frighten a person like that. Because a person, when he's sick, they don't want to hear stuff, oh, you look like you're not going to make it, man. No, okay, so now you remind them to make tawbah, but indirectly. But by you, no, we're still on number four. By you, I will tell you the number of the point, if there is a point. So the Shaykh, he says, So indirectly you remember them, you remind them of the Tawbah by talking about the virtue of Tawbah and the like. But you don't tell him directly, listen man, you look like you need a Tawbah more than me, man. And now that moment he's like, man, this person is telling him this, maybe the doctor told him that I'm not going to make it or something like that. And now you frighten them. No, you just tell them, listen, we all supposed to make Tawbah, but especially when you're sick, mashallah, أعمار بيد الله. أخي, I'm just reminding you, I may die now in here next to you, because death, nobody knows where they're going to die. But it, in general, we are supposed to make Tawbah, repent to Allah, and ask for forgiveness. But when you're sick, you keep this on your mind, inshaAllah ta'ala, and this like that. He mentioned some of the ahadith, some of the ayats and the ahadith that talks about the virtue of Tawbah and the like, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praise those who repent to Him often, not just when you're sick. Who says that you make Tawbah and you ask Allah forgiveness only when you're sick? No, in all your time. Barakallahu fiqh. Likewise, he said from the benefits that the visited person, the sick person, continue to gain, the gain from that visit, that he says, now if a person who's visiting the visitor, he looks, he may see, if he see that he's good for the sick person, that he recites some Quran on him, inshallah ta'ala, on the sick person, he will do some ruqya by reciting the Quran and spitting lightly on them, inshallah, and this. And also he may use some of the ahadith and dua that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to say to the sick people. For example, say, Allahumma rabban nasi adhibi al-ba'sa ishfi anta shafi la shifa illa shifa'uka shifa'an la yughadiru saqama. It's hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari, in Sahih Muslim. You can find it, hadith Sahih al-Bukhari, number 5675. In Sahih Muslim is hadith number 2191. The translation to that, on the authority of Aisha radiallahu anha, whenever the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam paid a visit to a patient, or a patient was brought to him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to invoke Allah saying, take away the disease, O the Lord of the people. Cure him as you are the one who cures. There is no cure but yours. A cure that leaves no disease. Okay? A cure that leaves no disease. And also, another dua the Prophet ﷺ used to say, رَبُّنَا اللَّهُ الَّذِي فِي السَّمَاءِ تَقَدَّسَ اسْمُكَ أَمْرُكَ فِي السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ كَمَا رَحْمَتُكَ فِي السَّمَاءِ فَاجْعَلْ رَحْمَتَكَ فِي الْأَرْضِ أَنْتَ رَبُّ الطَّيِّبِينَ اغْفِرْ لَنَا حَوْبَنَا وَخَطَايَانَا أَنْزِلْ رَحْمَةً مِنْ رَحْمَتِكَ وَشِفَاءً مِنْ شِفَائِكَ عَلَى هَذَا الْوَجَعِ فَيَبْرَأْ. حديث كلك بإمام أبو داود. Naam. Also he said the Shaykh may recite Surah Al-Fatiha, because Surah Al-Fatiha is Ruqya, alayhi salam. Surah Al-Fatiha is Ruqya itself. Okay, Surah Al-Fatiha itself is Ruqya. So he may recite Surah Al-Fatiha on the sick people. And also on those people they've been stung by a scorpion or a snake and the like. The Shaykh says, in general, if a person sees that the sick person likes that the people may recite some Quran on him, he'll do it. He, the person, the visitor, do that. So that he don't wait until the sick person say, read some Quran on me. Or because the Prophet ﷺ, he says, رَأَيْتُ مَعَ أُمَّةِ سَبْعِينَ أَلْفًا يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةِ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ وَعَذَابٍ. The Prophet ﷺ, in a narration, he says, with my ummah will be 70,000. They will enter al-Jannah without reckoning and without punishments. And he mentioned the Prophet who are they? لا يسترقون ولا يكتوون ولا يتطيرون وعلى ربهم يتوكلون. لا يسترقون أي لا يطلبون أحدا يقرأ عليهم. لا يسترقون, they do not ask others to recite Quran with them, Ruqya. So as Sheikh bin Baz رحمه الله تعالى, he mentioned, and I heard this from the Sheikh Ali Atwij رحمه الله تعالى, he mentioned that it's okay. It's okay for a person to recite on somebody else by the way of ruqya. Okay? Barakallahu fikum. Likewise, from these benefits that the sick person, we still now in point number 4, that if you see, you visit the sick person, but that person, they like you and they enjoy your stay with them, that visit, inshallah, try your best to make it a little bit longer. Try your best to make it a little bit longer, because that brings joy. You see that these people, mashallah, they happy around you and they want you to stay around. So try your best, inshallah ta'ala, because one of the means of cure is not pills. Okay? It's the condition of the heart and the soul. When a person, alhamdulillah, is happy and joyful, that will, alhamdulillah, bring a speedy recovery, inshallah ta'ala, by Allah's will. The Shaykh said this is actually the joy and the happiness of the joy of the heart and the soul. Actually, this is considered from the greatest means that brings the cure, actually. So if you know that person that you have visited, he or she, they like to your company and they enjoy your company, and you see, alhamdulillah, now when you came and now they change, they happy with you and they want you to stay for longer, do your best to stay longer, inshallah ta'ala. Unless when you see in their face that now they tell you by indication, they don't tell you you can leave, but they give you an indication by their face, by their movement, that it's time for you to leave, or that moment leave. At that moment you leave. Now he says, as for now, if a person go to visit a sick person, but as soon as you get there and you see that the sick person give you indication that he don't want you to be around him or the like, then you should leave. You should leave. Or maybe his family is in there, maybe his wife, maybe this, and he's like, okay, jazakallah khair for coming and visit, mashallah, please, inshallah, come anytime, like he's telling you another way, you can leave now. When you just get there, and a person tell you, jazakallah khair for coming to visit, mashallah, ibarak, may Allah reward you, you can come, inshallah, another time, jazakallah khair, I really appreciate it. That time, you say, Jazakallah khair, wa mashallah, I got things to take care of, I could stay with you for longer, but please forgive me. So you don't make him feel like, man, he's kicking you out. And you leave. Why? Because maybe his family is coming on the way, maybe they are there, now they have to go outside and wait in the hallway, and you sit in there. La, barakallahu fiqh. You ask, how you doing on this, and you leave. So he says in this hadith of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, it is legislated for us to visit the sick people. Point of benefit number 5. Likewise, he says from the benefits, this hadith highlights the husnul khuluq al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the high standards of manners, the good character of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his good manners. Then the Shaykh says, no doubt the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's the amongst the people, he has the best of character amongst the creation. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Qalam, Noon wal-Qalami wa ma yasturun, ma anta bi ni'mati rabbika bi majnun, wa inna laka la ajran ghayra mamnun, wa innaka la ala khuluqin azim. Indeed, you, O Messenger of Allah, you are on a high standards of manners. So the greatest of all the people on this in good manners are and those that are the best manners of the people, the kindest, the most merciful to the people, is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And because of this, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to visit his companions when they sick. He used to, and even those who are not sick, he used to visit with them, and he used to give salam when he passed by his companions, even the little ones. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from his good manners, when he passed by kids, the little ones, he will give them the salam, alayhi salatu wa salam. The point number 6, from the hadith of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu. From this hadith, the Shaykh says it is incumbent upon a person to seek advice from the people of knowledge. It is to seek advice from the people of knowledge. Because Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu, he consulted the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and sought his advice. When Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, he wants to give his wealth, some of his wealth, as a testament, as a wasiyah. But the Messenger, and he said to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Inni dhu malin kathir. I have a lot of money. وَلَا يَرِثُنِي إِلَّا ابْنَةٌ. And I have only one daughter now. Only one daughter that she may inherit this wealth. أَفَأَتَصَدَّقُ بُثُلُتَي مَالِي. He said, okay for me to give in charity two-thirds of my wealth? قَالَ لَا الْحَدِيثِ. The Prophet said no to the end of the hadith. So he said in this portion of the hadith, that it is incumbent upon us to seek advice and consult with the people of knowledge. He says, and everyone according to, you understand this according to circumstances and situation. The Shaykh says, if you have a matter pertaining to the deen, the religion, of course you turn to the ulama, to the scholars of the deen. You consult them and seek their advice. But if he wants, the Shaykh says now, but if a person wants to buy a house, of course you're going to go to those people, the agents, you know, realtors or something, trustworthy realtors, because that's their business. That's their specialty, that's their field. They may tell you, no, this house is no good because of this, it's too much, it's not worth it, or this area is no good, and the like. Likewise, the Shaykh says, you want to buy a car, but you are not a mechanic, you ask a mechanic. You know, you tell him, I want to buy this car, what do you think? And this is, you consult the people of specialty. And he says, that's why it is says, مَا خَبَ مَنْ إِسْتَخَارَ وَلَا نَدِيمَ مَنْ إِسْتَشَارَ. He said, for this it is said, as for those people who make istikhara, mashallah, it's good to make istikhara. They will never regret making that decision, and nor the one who consult people, because now you ask the people of expertise, they have experience in the field, they will tell you what to do, inshallah, and they help you. Then the Shaykh says, as related to consulting people, seeking advice, asking for advice, he says a person should not think that he's complete and perfect and he knows everything. He says, actually, if somebody, مَنِ ادَّعَ الْكَمَالِ لِنَفْسِهِ فَهُوَ النَّاقِسِ. He says, if a person claims that he's complete and perfect, he is the one who's deficient in truth, actually. If someone thinks he's complete, he's no need for nobody, he knows it all, that person is deficient. He says, no, in the matters that are very important, especially, you turn to the people of knowledge, those who have knowledge of that thing. He says, as for a person, just go ahead and do things because they are so, confident of themselves. No, he says, no, you're confident, but still, seek advice from those people who have knowledge. The Shaykh says, a person may think that what he's doing is right, and then after he does it, it turns out that it's not what he's supposed to be. But if he goes to people of experience, people older than him, people that been doing that, that's their field, inshallah, they give him some golden advice, inshallah ta'ala. He says, look now, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or before that, the Shaykh says, because there is, you got to take in consideration the area, the place, the people that you deal with. And me personally, like some 10 years ago, I heard this statement from our beloved Sheikh al-Doktor Muhammad bin Hadi al-Madkhali, in his house, alhamdulillah, we were in his house in Medina. And he was talking about this, giving us some advices pertaining to how to talk to others. And you have to be careful, not you just keep talking about everything to anybody. He says, لِكُلِّ مَقَامٍ مَقَالٍ. Every gathering has an adequate statement for it. Proper statements and proper subject. وَلِكُلِّ مَقَامٍ رِجَالُهُ. And every meeting or a gathering has its proper people. Don't confuse the people and the meetings. وَلَيْسَ كُلُّ مَنْ حَضَرَ رِجَالُهُ حَضَرَ أَوَانُهُ. And it's not because people are around, now you just give him anything. Some information may be kept away from certain people because they don't know how what to do with it. Certain information may not be for everybody. Some information may be fitna for certain people if you tell them that information. It become a problem for them. It will hurt them, not bring them benefits. And this is a hikmah that a person have to have hikmah. And hikmah is from Allah. Wisdom, may Allah grant us hikmah, ameen. And he says, for this reason, the Prophet ﷺ left off the rebuilding of the Kaaba upon the foundation of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Yes, the Prophet ﷺ, he was going to destroy the Kaaba and build it as Ibrahim alayhi salam built it, but the Prophet ﷺ didn't do that. Why? He was afraid from fitna. He was afraid that the people may fall in great fitna. That's why he said to Aisha radiallahu anha, لَوْلَا أَنَّ قَوْمَكِ حَدِيثُ عَهْدٍ بِكُفْرٍ لَبَنَيْتُ الْكَعْبَةَ عَلَى قَوَاعِدِ إِبْرَاهِيمُ وَلَجَعَلْتُ لَهَا بَابَيْنِ بَابًا يَدْخُلُ مِنْهُ النَّاسُ وَبَابًا يَخْرُجُونَ مِنْهُ. Hadith Bukhari and Muslim. This hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari, Sahih Muslim. In Sahih al-Bukhari is hadith number 126. And in Sahih Muslim is hadith number 1333. The Prophet ﷺ said to Aisha, has it not been the fact that you people in the Quraysh, they are new to Islam? Our certainly. Or they are new, they just left Kufr shortly, not too long ago. I will certainly rebuild the Kaaba upon the foundation of Ibrahim. And I will have two doors for it. One door to enter and one door to exit. The Shaykh says, so that the people will be easy for them to enter the house and to leave it. Okay? He said, but the Prophet ﷺ didn't do that out of fear that bring a fitna for these people. Even though this is a good thing, to rebuild the Kaaba in a proper way, as a maslaha, but then it's going to bring mafsada, it's going to bring harm, it's going to bring fitna. The Prophet ﷺ left that. Greater than this, actually, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbade the companions and anyone after them to abuse the false gods of the mushrikeen. Even though those gods, false gods, they deserve to be abused, okay, and talked bad about. But why the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prevents? Because there is a maslaha. Because when they abuse and curse their idols and their so-called gods, they're going to curse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and abuse Allah. Alright? So Allah says, no, not. As Allah mentioned in Surah Al-An'am, Ayah 108, in Surah Al-An'am, وَلَا تَسُبُّوا الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ فَيَسُبُّوا اللَّهَ عَدْوًا بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ كَذَلِكَ زَيَّنَّا لِكُلِّ أُمَّةٍ عَمَلَهُمْ ثُمَّ إِلَى رَبِّهِمْ مَرْجُعُهُمْ فَيُنَبِّئُهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and insult not those whom they demean disbeliever worship besides Allah, lest they insult Allah wrongfully without knowledge. Thus we have made fair seeming to each people its own doings. Then to their Lord is their return, and He shall then inform them of all that they used to do. Likewise from this, the people of Narada says, do not abuse or insult someone's parents, because they're going to insult yours. And a Muslim should stay away from abusing people and the like. The Muslim give advice, sincere advice, without insulting or being vulgar. No, you give advice for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you be patient with the harm of the people. And the Shaykh, he mentioned a lot of things, mashallah. He says that a person should be careful, in the general meaning, that a person should be careful before they say things or do things. He says certain people, they have the zeal, energy, and they follow emotions, and they don't take a time to see the outcome of that statement or that action or that decision. And then later on, they do it because the Sheikh says these people may have a good intention, but then they don't know how to do it. There is two different things: having a good intention and doing the right things, the right way. So this is why we learn from this. We seek advice from the people of knowledge. Point of benefit number 7. That for the person who's seeking advice, they have to present the case in details and as it is to the person that they're seeking advice from. So the Sheikh says, لا يلوذ يمين والشمال. The person got to go straight to the point and mention the reality of the matter that he's seeking advice of. In our terms, no beating around the bush. All right, all this and that. Now the Sheikh says, the person who's seeking advice, they have to be truthful and say the reality. So that the person who's seeking advice will understand the reality of the matter and build his advice on the reality. That's why for this, Sa'd, he said, إِنِّي ذُو مَالٍ وَلَا يَرِثُنِي إِلَّا ابْنَهُ. He gave details on the reality. He said to the Prophet, I have wealth, and I have only one daughter. I have a lot of wealth, but I have only one daughter. When he says, I have wealth, meaning he makes sure what he's talking about, the thing that he wants to give. Okay? And he mentioned also the thing that may prevent him from giving that wealth. I have one daughter. He didn't just say, can I just give all my money, and he didn't mention anything. No, he said, I have wealth, and I have one daughter. Meaning, since I'm telling you this is the reality, I have money, and I have one daughter, based on these facts, it's okay for me to give 2/3 of my wealth away in sadaqah? Also, the Sheikh, he says, the one who's been consulted, and the one that his advice is sought, has to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he has to speak with knowledge, and he has to advise the person with that which is good for them in this life and the hereafter. Not just go with the emotion of the person who's seeking advice. He says, because certain people, when somebody is seeking their advice, they be influenced, their decision is influenced by how emotional that person that's talking to them, and then they go with them, why, if that's what you want, okay, go ahead and do it. No, it's not what he wants. If what he wants, he won't come to you. The Sheikh says, no, you gotta look at the issue, and you're gonna choose for them what is better for them, not what they want. No, you choose what is better for them, and do not compromise. Doesn't matter who he is. Doesn't matter, they like it, they don't like it. They accept what you tell them, they don't accept it, that's something else. But you got to do what is right. You don't just go with them and give them whatever they want. No. You do what is pleasing to Allah. And the Sheikh says, you may advise them with something, as long as it's right and pleasing to Allah, they may not follow it. It's okay, you've done what you should do. But do not compromise and just follow them and give them what they want. Because certain people, they already have something in their mind. They just want to call somebody, so it's like, oh, he told me to do it. Now you got to tell them what is pleasing to Allah, what is good. They follow it, they don't follow it. I give you an advice, I give you an example. Alhamdulillah, being an imam of a masjid in the West, or giving da'wah in the West, which Allah grant us ikhlas, ameen. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from trials. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us beneficial knowledge. And may Allah grant us modesty and humbleness to say, I don't know for things we don't know. And yes, me personally, people call me sometimes. They want to discuss how we want to advise Akhi and this. And with that, in most, if not all cases, we give them what the ulama says. Unless if a matter is clear, alhamdulillah, we dealt with the ulama many times. But in most cases, we say, okay, Akhi, what is the case? This. We're going to talk to the ulama. Sometimes, Akhi, subhanAllah, people, because you're not giving them what they want, they don't follow it. And they go and ask somebody else. and this and that. And what goes around comes around. And they be, like they call it in our terms, fatwa shopping. So somebody come to you, and this, what should I do? Okay, that's what it is, mashallah. If it's involved somebody else, we got to talk to the other person. Because you got to verify. Okay, that's only true and just. Then when the issue is understood, the question is agreed upon by both parties, now one of the ulama is asked, if the sheikh need more details, we go back and ask the people and provide those details, and then the sheikh give an answer. Some people still want to go and say, can you ask another sheikh for me? I said, why? But when they go to a doctor, a Jew doctor, and give him prescription, they don't care. They don't like, oh, we got to go to another doctor. But when the alim of Ahlul Sunnah said something, no, we're going to ask another sheikh. Yeah, musibah. Iyadu billah. طيب, I'm summarizing because I want to finish these benefits, inshallah. Likewise, number 8 from the benefits, it is not permissible for the sick person who his sickness is serious to give in charity more than the third of his wealth. Unless if the people who are supposed to inherit, okay, unless if they say it's okay. Unless if them, they said it's okay with us, no problem with us to give more than the third. Because the Prophet ﷺ, he said to him, thuluth, and thuluth, with thuluth kathir. Because the Prophet ﷺ said to Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, no, you give the third, and third is a lot. He said, so therefore, this is a dalil itself that a person actually should give less than the third. As Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhumah, he used to say, he said, if the people give fourth instead of the third, that will be better for them. Will be better for them, because the Prophet ﷺ, he said to him, yes, you can give the third, but the third is a lot. Likewise, number 9 from the benefits, it's not permissible for a person in a serious sickness to give, that he may afraid that he may die from it, to give more than the third of his wealth. Whether it's a charity or building a masjid or a gift or anything, he does not give more than the third. Because the Messenger of Allah sallam, forbade Sa'd from giving charity of his wealth more than the third.
And the same as 8?
No, this is 9. He says, and what is better is that a person give the fifth, because Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he used to give the fifth. Number 10 from the benefits. Number 10 from the benefits, if a person's wealth is not that much, person he has little bit wealth, and he has inheritors, that they are poor, the Sheikh said, what is better for such person? Not to give anything in charity, not to leave a will, okay, when I die, give this for my money, because the man doesn't have much. And the people who are supposed to inherit him after his death, they poor. So in this case, he doesn't give. Because the Prophet ﷺ, he said to Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, إِنَّكَ أَن تَذَرَ وَرَثَتَكَ أَغْنِيَاءَ خَيْرٌ مِنْ أَن تَذَرَهُمْ عَالَى. For you to leave your ears, I'm saying that right?
Your heirs.
The inheritors, if you leave them wealthy, it's better than you leave them asking people and begging people. And he said this is clearly in opposition to what some people from the laymans, some laymans, they think you have to believe a will. You have, in that will, you have to say, you have actually not to leave a will, that's good, from the sunnah. But now the Sheikh is talking about some laymans, they think you have to give some of your money away. You have to make it on that will that once I die, you gotta give this wealth. No, he says, no, it's not the case. If a person, the Sheikh says, he's have a little bit of wealth and the inheritors are poor, they don't have much, he should not actually give anything from that wealth for others. That's what is better for him. He says, some of the laymen, they think if they don't leave some in the wasiyah, in the will, something like that, that okay, if I die, some of my money going in charity to the masjid, they think they will have no reward. He says, no, this is not the case. Actually, taking care of your family members, you get great reward by doing so. Number 11, from the points of benefit from this hadith, likewise, the companions of the Prophet ﷺ who made hijrah from Mecca to Medina at that time, they were afraid that they may die in Mecca. Okay, because Sa'd radiallahu anhu, when he was sick in Mecca, and he said to the Prophet sallam, am I going to be here? I'm going to die here? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, so therefore he was afraid to die in Mecca. He didn't want to die in Mecca at that time. This apply on them, why? Because they made hijrah. Because they have left. It's not because of Mecca. Mecca is the best place. But because the Sahaba, they made hijrah from Mecca to Medina. And they don't want to die in a place that they made hijrah from. Okay? Tayyib, that's why. It's not because of Mecca, something bad of Mecca. You don't want to die in Mecca. No. No, because him. He's from the companions who made hijrah from Mecca. And they don't want to die in the place that they have left for the sake of Allah at that time. Number 12, from the points of benefits, this hadith also one of the hadith that shows the mu'jiza of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Miracles, as they explain it and translate in English. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, no, you will not die here, inshallah, in Medina, in Mecca. And actually you will have more children and you will live longer until certain people will benefit from you and others are harmed. And that's what happened. Because Sa'd radiallahu anhu, he lived until the Khilafah of Muawiyah. Ayna. So he went through the Khilafah of Abu Bakr, and Umar, and Uthman, and Ali. Subhanallah, until Muawiyah. And as we mentioned before, he has so many children. What, 70 boys and 30 grandchildren and stuff, huh?
17?
Oh, he was over here. Let me see. 17 or?
72 boys.
Huh? 72 boys. No. Yeah, 17. No, 17. The ulama, they said that he has left 17 sons and 12 daughters. Okay? And he mentioned that they participated in futuhat, in the conquest, mashallah. And this is from the signs of the Prophet ﷺ, that he informed about something that will happen in the future, and it happened as the Prophet ﷺ mentioned. Number 13, from the benefits, whenever a person does an action seeking the pleasure of Allah, the face of Allah, being sincere, accept that Allah will raise that person levels with Allah. So a person should not be concerned what the people say about me. You be concerned what Allah thinks about you. That's the most important. People, they can praise you today and drop you loose tomorrow. That's it. So you don't count what the people say. Doesn't matter. People praise you. Now, if they praise you, see, they praising you based on what? And if the people say bad things about you, look at those things. If you deserve any of them, change yourself. But if they just lying on you, mashallah, what are you going to do? Are you the first one that people are going to say bad things about you? People talk about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have ayahs that the Jews, they say, Yadullahi maghloola, Allah is stingy, doesn't spend, wal'iyadu billah. So don't pay attention. In other words, don't pay attention to the people much. Don't give the people's statements much weight. Why? Because if you do that, alhamdulillah, you live in a life of ease. They praise you, they backbite you, they say things, doesn't matter, it's Chinese to you, especially if you don't know Chinese. Okay? It's Chinese. What matters to you, what you're doing? Is Allah is pleased with you, you're doing things that are pleasing to Allah, that's all matter. People can praise you, is that stuff going to help you in your Qiyamah? If all of the people of earth praise you, for example, but Allah is not pleased with you, where are you going to go? And if everybody is against you, but Allah is with you, that's why it is mentioned, if Allah is with you, don't worry who's against you. And if Allah is against you, it doesn't matter who's with you. If Allah is against you, man, that's it. Doesn't matter who's with you. May Allah grant us ikhlas. Ameen. It is so, therefore, the action is very important. And a person should have a good intention as well. Should have a good intention. And a benefit number 14, of course, I didn't translate everything because the Sheikh gives some details, but this is a summarized class. We try to give our sisters some advices, okay? Barakallahu fikum. Number 14, the last of the benefits, that when a person spend in the way of Allah, seeking the face of Allah, to please Allah, he will be rewarded for that action when he or she spends. Even when a man, for example, spends on his family members, on his wife, on his people, even in his children, and his own self. When a person feeds himself, buy things to himself, if he's doing that for the sake of Allah, because he's taking care of himself, taking good care of his wife, his children, and his family, he will be rewarded, subhanAllah. It's a ni'mah from Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he says, and this is good for us to know, because we should have that good intention, that whatever we do, when you pay the rent, when you bring food, when you're working, you do that to seek closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you'll be rewarded for it. You'll be rewarded for all that. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us, to aid us, to have mercy on our mashayikh, those who died amongst them, the like of Shaykh Muhammad bin Salih Uthaymeen and others. And as for those of our noble mashayikh that they are still alive, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase them in knowledge and grant them sound health to continue, inshallah ta'ala, to benefit Islam and the Muslims. May Allah protect our sisters in Islam, whether they are mothers or wives or grandmothers or sisters or daughters or stepdaughters or stepmothers or whoever they are. May Allah protect them, ameen. And may Allah taught them the religion. May Allah grant our sisters in Islam a correct understanding. And may Allah grant them ikhlas and sincerity and protect them from the evil within their own selves and from the wickedness of the shaitan. And may Allah protect them if they in their homes, and if they are while they are outside of their homes, may Allah protect them. Ameen. Subhanakallah bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam taslima katheera.